Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show, live from the Chattanooga Film Festival. This is your host, Mike D. And today, I'm really excited. This is the last day of the festival, and we've had some really great guests. But today, we have Bullet Cinema with us, and this is really important because there, overall in cinema, there is a lack of female representation, and I feel like it's even more true of genre cinema. My two guests today are doing everything they can to change that. I am joined by Dre Boulay and Olivia Saperstein. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So how's the festival been for y'all?
Magical.
Yeah, it's
enchanting.
Really great. I love this festival. It's like such a good size.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like when I first started going to festivals, I loved like the intimacy of it, and it's just like a bunch of people who love movies talking about movies.
Sure.
And then when you start going to bigger ones, it gets a little bit, you know,
bloated.
Yeah. exactly. So this is a really nice environment and with some great people.
Yeah, I think Chris, obviously, and everybody involved with the festival has done such a great job. This was such a surprising year. We've been coming for like the last few years, and this is the first year where we didn't get to do everything because everything was just so jam-packed this time. And yeah, just the lineup and everything has been pretty incredible. So
yeah, it's a great lineup.
So basically let's start early on. I kind of want to hear, you know, you're both filmmakers, and I kind of want to hear what your early influences were, and if you were both into genre cinema, you know, growing up, and when filmmaking started to become a thing for you. Mm-hmm. So whoever wants to,
I'll take it away. it's interesting. I was kind of like a depressed preteen, tween, and I got really into horror. And I would, you know, I had this friend who kind of turned me on to it, but I would, you know, sit at home alone on the weekends, like watching horror movies. And I remember like the earliest ones that I loved were Halloween, Carrie, and I don't know. I remember watching The Exorcist. Like, everyone was talking about how scary The Exorcist was. Sure. And I was like, eh. I sat at home and watched it alone, and I was like, this is not scary at all. And so it became kind of like a refuge for me. And
sure.
I think I would kind of use it to film to escape. Like, I loved being immersed in a new world. And it wasn't until college when I started studying film theory that I was like, oh, I think I really want to do this. Sure. But I was like, for some reason, I thought, oh, because I'm not going to film school or whatever, it's not going to happen. And I eventually, like I do with everything else, just had to say, fuck it, I'm just going to do it.
Sure.
And thus I did.
For sure, dude.
Dre, how about you?
I've been going to movie theaters since I can remember.
Sure.
I like, as Olivia said, being transported to a new world, going back to that world, revisiting it. I really enjoyed science fiction films first, and then more so the darker ones, which eventually led me to horror and genre. I really like horror and genre because it's very emotional.
Sure.
It makes you feel the feels like every single time. I'm an emotional lady, so I like those feelings.
Right.
I just like the way that it really gets down to my bones. So when I was a teen, I would just go to the theater probably like 4 times a week, like obsessed.
Sure.
Like save all my movie stubs for no reason in a Ziploc bag. And then I got into high school, and there was a wonderful art teacher of mine who had gone to film school and things like that, and he noticed how much I knew about film and how in-depth I could talk to him about it.
Right.
And he said, you know, I'm starting a film class, and I really, really insist that you take this class.
Sure.
And that's when I was introduced to, like, how to make an indie film. You don't need a huge crew and, you know, depends, but you know, you can do things on your own. You can make films.
Sure.
You can do whatever you want. And he was really inspiring to me. And then I started to make little videos of, you know, my family, my dogs, the clouds, whatever, anything and everything. And then I realized, you know, this is exactly what I want to do for the rest of my life. I applied to film school, went to film school, dropped out of film school.
Yes, yeah.
Used my film school tuition to make a short film.
There you go.
Which then catapulted everything.
Right? Sure. So. Right on. So what was your film education like?
So it was minimal in terms of production. Okay. I studied, I think film theory was my minor, and I became so passionate about it because it really showed me how you can say so much, you know,
sure,
in a film. And, right, you know, we were studying Sartre and de Beauvoir and Friedrich Nietzsche and comparing that to, like, all that theory to these popular movies.
Right.
And I was like, wow, like, films are really such a, like, a microcosm of society, you know?
Mm.
And I just, like, yeah, oh my goodness. So I was actually a film critic for a while because, sure, I was really in that, like, academic mindset. But eventually I kind of got tired of saying the same thing all the time, which,
sure,
was shitty portrayal of women in almost every film that I saw. And I was like, I need to be part of this conversation. I need to do something to, you know, there definitely were films being made by women, obviously, that were amazing, but it just wasn't prevalent enough.
Right.
Like, I kept seeing the same stuff over and over.
Yeah, for every horrible portrayal, you know, for every, like, 30 horrible portrayals, there's, like, one good.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
So problematic. Dre, did you notice the same thing as you're, you know, watching films and attending film school?
Yes. A lot of my professors were male.
Sure.
A lot of the students were male.
Right.
I don't think I had noticed it quite so vividly, quite right. And then it was more of when I started critiquing film as well.
Okay.
We had a university radio show, and I had an online magazine called CJLO. What's up, CJLO? And they didn't have any film content really developed,
sure,
in their magazine. So I took upon myself to say, "Listen, I want to be a film critic for you guys." And that's when I started kind of noticing the same patterns started to emerge. Speaking about just the male dominance and,
sure, and the male gaze. I mean, that's,
yeah,
so, yeah, exactly.
Women and being like the muse,
right,
not the agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And then I just got really upset.
Sure. Yeah.
We cried for about a year.
Yeah.
And then we're like, all right.
Like, okay.
So, yeah. So how, when did you two meet, and how did you strike up, you know, friendship that would turn into this working relationship?
I think we met at Fantasia 2012.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
Briefly.
Very brief.
And then she hit me up on Facebook. And we started a Facebook romance.
The great uniter.
Sure. No, I'm so glad she did, because she was just like, hey, let's be friends. Like, I really like what you're about. And I was like, yeah, I like what you're about. And we just, like, started talking every day. And then you came out to New York for Tribeca. Yeah. And didn't you stay with me?
I did, yeah.
She came out and just stayed with me. And
yeah,
we went to Tribeca Film Festival. And Max, the DP that we work with, was out there too, and mm-hmm, I had this idea for my first short film, and they were like, yeah, that sounds great, and mm-hmm, so we did it.
Sure. We also fell in love.
We did, yes. This is my wife. My movie wife.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. This movie is clear.
So where does Bullet Cinema come from? I mean, where does that, you know, what is the kind of the mission statement, and then, you know, when do you decide, hey, this is what we're about?
Well, it's kind of silly. Like, we always call Dre Boulet, Dre Bullet. And I don't know, we always, and, you know, we kind of notice that our work and our ideas definitely, like, kind of hit you hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, we don't beat around the bush, per se. Like, it's very direct. It can make you uncomfortable. They're big ideas, and so I thought that sort of violent analogy was cool.
Sure.
Maybe, yeah, it's a little bit of a dichotomy because the bullet's kind of phallic and we're like a,
oh my gosh,
company.
That's true.
And then all these shootings started to happen and I was like, no.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
We're like, should
right,
we rebrand?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but, you know.
It was also when we did our second short, I felt like we knew we were gonna be working together forever.
Sure. Deadfield was the first, right?
Deadfield was my kind of like my solo thing.
Okay.
Where I was developing my own style with Max.
Sure.
I'd been introduced to Max from a really good friend of mine, and Max and I, just like Olivia, hit it off immediately, like insta best friends. We miss him very much. He's traveling around.
So yeah, so we, I helped him post a little bit, and then we decided to just, you know, brand it.
Brand it, sure.
Yeah, with Bullet. We wanted to give ourselves kind of like an organization, a republic.
Sure. But yeah, plastic was the first thing we worked on really as a group.
Yeah.
And speaking about plastic and things that, like, you know, hit you, there are several moments in that. I watched it with my roommate.
Oh, you did?
And there's several moments that, oh, literally, holy shit. I was just like, oh, wow. The breathing was one of them. Mm-hmm. That, I had to roll it back because I wasn't sure at first. I'm like, that's, no. And then you play it back. And then that just, there's a tonal shift there that changes the way the entire rest of the film plays out. And it's really unsettling and really
good.
I watched it a few times because I was like, there's a lot going on here. And I really, really adored it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk a little bit about that. That was your first film working production together.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, some of the challenges and some of the successes. I mean, I think the film overall is a huge success, but you know, in production.
I think it was very ambitious of us to cast that many actors.
We cast 11 actors.
Right. It was a huge ensemble.
They were amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were all like...
Holy shit.
Not all of them.
No?
No.
Most.
Okay.
They were so excited to be... I don't know. Is that a difference between like working in LA and New York, maybe? But
sure.
We shot it in Brooklyn, and like the actors were so great, so professional, and so just thrilled to like be a part of the project and be working for free and like making a movie. It was so great. I think the biggest... Honestly, shooting that was a blast.
Yeah, it was.
Like, there were obstacles, but we had so much fun shooting it. Like, it felt very natural for us to all be working together.
Sure.
Directing felt very natural to me at that point, even though it was my real first thing. I think the biggest struggle was, like, sort of condensing it in the edit.
Right.
It changed a lot from the initial script.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think, you know, it's definitely not... a classically structured storyline.
Sure.
So that was a project we had to really like find in the edit, and I
Absolutely.
Think it did really work out in the end. But it took a long time to edit that, and I think it taught me a lot about the importance of putting as much work as possible into the script and you know, into pre-production. And it was a great lesson.
Yeah. Were those last 30 seconds always the same?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
We kind of scrapped a lot of stuff.
Sure.
But I
wondered about that. Just because it, again, in speaking of tonal shifts, it becomes an even additional tonal shift at that point.
Yeah.
One that is effective, but it leaves you with a, what the fuck? You know, just kind of a, so yeah, really interesting that if you're through production, that's how that happens.
Yeah. No, that was a great first lesson project.
For sure. And I felt like a lot of people didn't understand it.
Yeah.
They were like, what's this like comedy rom-com grindhouse kind of short film? And but
the women, like, honestly, any festival we screened that at, like, I would have women come up to us and be like, oh my god,
yeah, it's a pattern,
thanks
we're
for
finding.
Making that, like, I really related to it.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's so important, especially with what you're, you know, trying to accomplish overall.
Yeah.
That's, so let's talk a little bit about projects overall. What is it, you know, when you talk about, you know, what you're going to do next, is it, hey, I have this idea, let's see it through from start to finish? Or do you have a backlog of ideas and you say, well, maybe we should, you know, try this? Or how do you pick projects?
We have a lot of ideas. I think it's whatever gets written first.
Okay.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Whatever's done first, we'll go for that.
Yeah,
for
and sure. I actually had two scripts. So I wrote the script first called Young Predators, which is a feature. So it's a teen sex comedy.
Okay.
And, you know, we kind of decided, okay, this is like a big budget thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's have this be our second or third feature. Let's start with something smaller that'll get us in the door.
Sure.
And thus was born The Divorce Party.
Right.
Which will hopefully be going to production this summer.
Great.
Yeah.
We got a lot of advice from our friends too, who are like, you know, because your first project's so ambitious and will cost a lot of money, maybe whip something up. And
yeah, I think
it really helps us. They help guide us too, which is really great because of that, you know, film community. It's very strong in indie.
Yeah.
Do you both work as a team writing, or does the lion's share fall onto one of you more than the other? Or
I think it depends on the project.
Okay. Yeah.
It depends on whose idea it came, like whose brain it came from.
Right. Like Dre has been working on this action movie for a while, and that's her baby.
Sure.
She has that. She'll send me drafts. I'll give notes back.
Yeah.
You know.
Constant communication, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Olivia was very. We communicated a lot while she was writing The Divorce Party through that whole year,
mm-hmm.
and with Max as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
it helped because you tell me what I need to hear.
And that's the thing,
that's really
because
when,
you know, because Olivia and I are so close, you know, we know what we're thinking without having to say anything. And my job as producer is to just ask her the right questions to get her to answer them for herself.
Yeah, and she knows, like, I don't always agree. Like, I will fight her on stuff. So, yeah, like, I don't always take her notes and apply them, but I do.
But they're there.
But I really appreciate them.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they are what I don't want to hear but need to hear, and I'm so grateful for that.
That's fantastic. So, in the material that you're both creating, is there definitely, I mean, it comes out in the material, but when you're going in and writing, excuse me, are you trying to write for subversion of expectations and tearing down preconceived you know, stereotypes? Right.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's really, I think you'll see that in our first feature, 100%.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you
said
that's going to go into production this summer?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where are you shooting?
Upstate New York.
Oh, great.
Ideally.
Mm,
I can't make the like official announcement yet, but it's looking like that's how it's going to be.
Awesome.
So it's great.
Well, that kind of leads us up to the festival.
Yeah.
Y'all are here with Recipe,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of fun and does the same kind of thing. You know, a lot of meditation on body image and,
mm-hmm.
You know, and especially how people treat each other. What was it like writing that and, you know, kind of producing that? I mean, what was the genesis of that?
I really wanted to do something that highlighted the absurdity of like the lengths that people will take or people are taught to take to get the body they want.
Sure.
Or the body they're conditioned to think they want.
Exactly. So, you know, I was trying to think, what's the most ridiculous? There's so many diets. I had been in that stage of my life in college where I like tried every diet on the planet. I was eating disordered. And I don't know. I had this like weird image of like human meat going through a meat grinder, just disgusting. But like, that's really where the idea was born. But I thought the raw food diet, you know, it's so fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can we take that to an absolute extreme?
You did.
And I did. Yeah, just the lengths that people will take. And I wanted to do a critique on that. And sometimes I think people get so obsessed that they lose sight of what's really important, you know.
Just human, the law.
Right.
That too. But human relationships, you know.
Sure.
It's like, what is it all for?
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Human connection.
Yeah.
Producing it was fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. It's very a smaller cast this time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we shot in a really good friend of ours house in Hollywood. You know Aaron Moorhead.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He had this cute little bungalow.
Renting his house at the time because he was on festival tour with Spring.
Sure.
And, yeah.
You had just moved to L.A., right?
I had just moved to L.A.
So this was like 2 years ago, I guess?
Yeah, two years ago. He let me...
Baby
he let us shoot there, which was so amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible.
We got a crane in there.
We got a crane in there.
Super like low ceilings.
Like
we're doing it.
Yeah, Jib. It was 90 degrees. There was no air conditioning.
Wow.
But we knew, like, Olivia had friendships with some of the actors that we casted, so working with a smaller cast taught us how to be a little more intimate with them, mm-hmm. active listening, sure. like really paying attention to everything.
Really working as a team. When you're working like in that small of a crew, like everyone kind of does everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course. Like, everyone's wearing 10 hats.
Yeah.
But the feedback that we usually do get is, I have so much fun on set. From our cast and crew, like,
and that's so
where are you guys from? Like, yeah. what's happening? And we're like, yeah, dude, like, let's just collaborate. Yeah, it's all about human connection and making art and commenting on it. So,
yeah, we keep it joyful. And I
that's have to, really, it's really so important. Hard.
Yeah. yeah. And I like to really remember to kind of treasure every individual. Absolutely. Everyone on down to, you know, who's delivering our food.
Right.
Yeah, everyone is important, especially the food person.
So you've both shown up in the films. What's acting, you know, a part of that, or is it more just to, you know, have a hand in that part? Are you more interested in being behind the camera?
Yeah, I mean, we both have acting experience. I studied acting when I was younger. So I enjoy it. If there's something that works for me, you know, right. I'll do it. I never want to cast myself at this stage in like a lead role because I want to really pay attention to what I'm doing behind the camera.
Sure.
But it's fun for us to play these bit parts.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's like kind of like a little break for us too, where we can be silly and go for it and be wild and then go back to like being behind the camera.
Oh my God. Sure. Do you remember on Recipe was the last thing we shot was our performance. So the cooking cooking show. So we were like wiped. We were wiped from doing all the work. And I was like, how am I going to do this? Like we really had to jazz ourselves up to be these like upbeat television hosts.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But someone came up to me the other day and they were like, the dialogue that was written for that scene mm-hmm. was amazing. And we were like, we didn't even know what was happening.
Sure.
But
that was improv.
It was improv because I watched a lot of Food Network, so right. I knew the verbiage. Yeah. I was like, you cube the shit and then you layer it. And
yeah, we just practiced it a couple times.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very natural.
Yeah, it was a great rapport.
It
works.
But I feel like moving forward for the acting, like Olivia and I have these two characters that we're just dying to play and have their own universe, and it's kind of like a riff on Jay and Silent Bob.
Sure.
That like. Duo that everyone loves.
Stoner duo.
Just silly as hell. Just no filter. And I feel like we could like feminize that. Like,
yeah, well, they're actually, 11. So they were in plastic, those two characters, Vic and Sid.
Yeah.
With the bike helmet.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was actually going to ask if that was one of the characters because you're just such a like odd standout. In that. I was like, there's more to this.
Yeah.
There was
a lot more footage shot. I want to go back and find some of that footage. It's funny, but those two characters emerge in that teen sex comedy I wrote.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a lot of dialogue, actually.
Yeah. They're the weed dealers.
Yeah.
Nice.
So hopefully they'll come back at some point.
And awesome. I like that, too, where we kind of like have that larger universe scale and then we kind of dip from project to project. Sure. I really like doing that too.
So in talking, you know, about the future, I mean, you have a possible future coming up. What else is, I know you've started to do some music video work. Are there any other shorts on the books or anything like that? Or
we want to shoot soon. We want to just keep putting content out.
It's tough because we live in different states.
Right.
So I'm LA, Dre's Vancouver. I work in production full time for a YouTube channel. So I'm kind of like doing production all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So and it's a matter of,
yeah.
I think we've had our noses to the grindstone on just getting this feature made.
Yeah,
so that's
definitely
a priority, especially since it's coming up so soon. But Dre's been writing a lot on her own and has a lot of great ideas, and I think.
And I do a show for her YouTube channel.
She does.
It takes a long time.
Dre, so I content manage and develop and direct and produce this channel called Hissy Fit, which is a sort of like feminist style channel, which is under Snarled, which is a women's collective on YouTube. It's the fastest growing female channel on YouTube.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's great. Yeah. So I was hired to start Hissy Fit, which is under Snarled, and I was like, Dre, you got to do something because I find all the talent and I develop all the ideas, And she came up with this, she wanted to do all DIY denim. Just like, let's call it denimism.
Canada. Sure.
And it's one of the best performing shows on our channel so far. Wow. She's amazing. She's hilarious. I was like, I need to give you this vehicle to like be your funny self.
And it's all relevant, right? We're learning so much about producing right. and acting, and it'll just help.
It's just another way to work together.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sure.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
So in kind of wrapping up, I mean, what do you think that the state of genre cinema is right now? And what do you hope to accomplish as far as genre is concerned within the next, you know, 5 years or so?
I think there's a lot of great stuff being made. I think women are slowly but surely developing more of a voice in the sure. genre space. I think also women are the biggest consumers of horror, and the sooner people realize that, the better.
Sure. Which this all kind of ties in. The next was going to be, you know, about the female voice. So yeah, I mean, all of it together, you know, in the context of genre cinema.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we need to stray from just sort of masturbatory films that salute our heroes. I'm so tired of seeing homages to like 70s and 80s movies. Like, I get it. We all love it.
Right.
We're evolved human beings. Sure. We can nod to that while also doing something creative
Absolutely.
And meaningful, you know?
Sure.
And I think that's happening. I mean, I think
it's super exciting. There's like a new wave.
Like Get Out, I mean.
Yeah.
Happening, yeah. And it's, I feel like people are just more willing to actively listen now to those right. voices that have been screaming forever. And they're like, oh, wait, what's that little noise I'm hearing? Oh, right, it's women wanting to, sure. you know,
and I keep thinking, it keeps going back to me for that show Big Little Lies.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have, you know, I think Reese Witherspoon produced that, but she has her own company now, and it's like these actresses who just have been fighting this system for a long time
sure.
are starting to have more power and change it themselves. And with a show like that, you know, about these women that all overcome their petty bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That's a pattern that together. Has emerged. Women just creating their own companies.
Right.
Making their own content.
Like, fuck it, you're not going to give it to me. I'm going to do it myself.
Enough. Sure.
Yeah, and there's so incredible. Many of those people. Reese Witherspoon, Drew Barrymore, I think Jessica Chastain just...
Yeah, she did.
Oh, Freckle wow. Films.
Sure.
Not to mention, like, all the women in the indie circuit.
Yeah, all of our lady friends have their own production vehicles, and we all help each other and listen and give advice.
Sure.
So, hopefully, we're leading by example for those who, maybe not younger, but those who are observing us.
Sure.
It's intersectionality too, you know.
Absolutely.
It's not just, I don't want to see a bunch of rich white women, you know, that's like right. that's a huge factor on this upcoming feature. It's a story about seven women, and I'm like so avid about having all different kinds of women.
Sure.
Yeah, it's very important. Yeah,
it's not just the First Wives Club.
Right. You know,
oh my
right.
God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're liberal second wave feminism is out the door. We're entering a more woke stage now.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and I think the reflection of that in art, one of the things we've talked about a lot lately on the show is how 80s were kind of a reflection of Reagan's America. It's so interesting what is becoming the reflection of Trump's America.
Yeah, right.
You know, with Get Out and you know.
Poison into medicine, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's exactly what we need. So... Well, thank you all so much for
thank
joining
for
us today. This has been
much.
Incredible. We'll definitely keep up with y'all, and as things come together, we'd love to have you back on. So
yeah, no doubt.
Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Oh, we will.
Thank you so much, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And
this
for Bigger
great.
Show, this has been Mike D. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the rest of our Chattanooga Film Festival coverage, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
We're going to need a big show.